Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate the podcast and leave us a comment or two. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, and subscribe. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWPodcast.com. That is ICBWPodcast.com. Be on the lookout for our new merchandise store coming later this quarter. We appreciate your support in advance. Going to be a little mini rebrand of the show's logo. We're going to still be offering the classic design plus a couple others. And I'm sure you're going to like it, man. So go out and buy about 40, 50 of them joints. Baby needs a new pair of shoes, man. So we appreciate your support in advance on that, seriously. Now, without further delay, let's get this thing rolling, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who's a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal, player?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's happening with you?
Man, hey, it's all good, man. I wish that I could like bottle up the energy that I have right now and sell it. I think I can make a little bit of profit off this shit, man.
Okay.
Feeling good, man. Some real positive shit, man.
That's good to hear.
Yep. Hey, we're going to do this episode, man. You know, All-Star Weekend was here in Charlotte.
Yes, indeed.
And we wanted to do one of our famous top 10 lists that involved top 10 NBA players.
Hmm.
You with it?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Let's do it, man. So, we're gonna hit y'all with this, man. And, you know, and there are no, I don't have any white guys on my list, man. You got any white guys on your list?
I actually don't.
You know, okay.
I actually don't.
Very, Me neither.
Could be, but
So we're gonna go ahead and hit you with the top 10 NBA players, man. Again, we do these top 10 shows because we like to accentuate not only our culture but the achievements in every single endeavor that Black people choose to partake in. That's what it is. That's what we do. That's how we roll, man. So man, I'm gonna let you go ahead and we're gonna jump right into it, man. I'm gonna let you go ahead and get going, man.
Okay.
What are we going to do? You going to do your honorable mentions and shit first?
Sure. And my criteria, I didn't know really how to take my criteria, but usually when you're talking about players, professional players, it's always the discussion of how many rings they got or whatever. That wasn't necessarily it, but it did factor into my criteria. Their championship record, MVPs, and really the impact in the game. And I just really had to like him as a player to some extent. But
before you go into that, man, let me give you my criteria.
Okay.
So that way, you know, people can hear them both together at the same time. My criteria was basically I had to have seen you play, either on TV or in person. So with that being said, there are going to be some individuals that are notably great within their own right that will not be on my list.
So when you say seen, meaning since you've been living, seen them?
It has to be in a situation where I have seen them in contemporary action.
Okay.
On like either I tuned into a game and I've seen them play. I've seen them in the playoffs. So I've seen them, you know.
Because about to say, you know, ESPN Classic may have like an old game
Yeah, not like that. It would have had to have been within the, you know, a contemporary space and time.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, for whatever that time period was. So, with that being said, there is no Bill Russell on my list. There is no Will Chamberlain on my list.
Wow.
But everybody knows the greatness thereof. So I mean, it's not to discount that. It's just my criteria. Just to make it simple.
You're putting the bullshit out there first. You're just saying, hey, for you guys who got Bill and Will, I'm just letting you know right now.
Because what I'm saying is that if
fair,
you...
Hey, that's fair. But, hey, it's your criteria.
Because my whole thing is this. It's like if you are a man of a certain age, you did not watch Bill Russell play. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be at least... Shit, man, I don't even know when he retired, man, but... You would have had to have been alive in the 60s.
Yeah, you had to be in elementary or middle school in the 60s.
Right.
To get the full impact of his 11 rings.
Exactly.
However many, I believe.
Right, because you got to think, Bill Russell was born in 1934.
Yeah.
So he was probably done. I mean, he was drafted... You know, in 1956, and he played until 1969. So you would have had to have been, you know, he didn't even play in the 70s. So at this particular point,
like we weren't born,
right? Yeah, so yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I would have had to have seen you play and understood what I was watching. That's the only reason why. So it's not that I don't think that he's not the greatest champion, because shit, 11 rings speak for itself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not taking that away. So I'm just saying, from my perspective and applying situational context, that's why he's not there. That's why Wilt's not there.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you do you. It's your list. I just let the listeners, I'll let them speak for themselves.
My list is hot. Your shit is trash.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes.
Man. Fuck your list.
That's why you had to put the bullshit out there first.
It's not the bullshit, man.
Hey, like I said, it is criteria. Hey, Will, the greatest center to ever live. Hey, he's not on my list. I'm just letting you know.
About to see Will play.
Bill, you know, he's all this, you know, all this fuck, but just letting you know. He's not
11 rings. 11 rings. I mean, 11 rings is stout. But I'm just saying, you know, rings ain't everything. No.
That's right.
But no, it's a real shit, though. Otherwise, Robert Horry would be on my list.
Right.
So
he might be. Let's see. We'll get to that.
Spoiler alert. Robert Horry is not on my list.
Okay.
If we have a top 10 clutch NBA players, perhaps.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Truism.
Because he done put some daggers in some motherfuckers' hearts.
Oh, yeah. On several teams.
Several teams, yeah, right. So, yeah. But anyway, I believe they were just passing Robert Horry around. They was like, man, we need a ring. Get Robert Horry.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying?
But anyway, man, I'm gonna let you go ahead with your honorable mentions. Go ahead and get your fucked up ass list.
So many players, but I only have four honorable mentions just to mention. All right,
that's mad.
In no particular order, Karl Malone, number two scorer in NBA history. I didn't really care for Utah, but I had to give him props somewhere. But he didn't crack my top 10. Dominique Wilkins, probably the most explosive player. And growing up where I grew up, we only got Atlanta stations besides WGN in Chicago, Atlanta stations, TBS. So I always saw Hawks games, and he was like the shit. And so he really, honestly, Dominique made me sort of grasp, you know, the whole thing about basketball. But I had to give him a nod. Ray Allen, South Carolina born and bred.
Is this a South Carolina homerism? Is that what this is right here? Because there's no way in the hell Ray Allen is an honorable mention for top 10 players in NBA history.
I'm sorry.
Okay, man. All right, man. It's your list.
Yeah, I thought it's I was going. I'm sorry.
It's your list. Yeah, my bad.
Yes, I think there are 10 players ahead of Ray Allen. Now, of course, he's the number one 3-point shooter in terms of points. But that's why I'm giving him an honorable mention.
Okay. All right. I can feel that.
I think there are 10 players that are greater than Ray Allen. And
you don't think that they're 10?
No, I do. That's why he's in the honorable mention.
Okay, I got you. Okay. All right, man.
And Dr. J. Dr. J.
In honorable mention?
Probably the smoothest player.
In honorable mention.
He just...
Dr. J.
I mean, when I get to my
Julius
10,
Irving
you'll see from a contribution standpoint. But, I mean, Dr. J, I mean, I think everyone knows Julius Irving.
Are you serious right now?
So those are my four sort of highlight. I know he's like your number one or two maybe, but...
No, he's not up that high, but yeah. I'm just saying, bro, honorable mention?
And we all know honorable mention means you could crack 10. If you want to say 10 A, B, C, and D, well, they're my A, B, C, and D. How about that?
All right, man. I got several honorable mentions, man. I got Kevin Durant. That actually may change depending on where he ends up at as far as his career goes. He may actually end up being in the top 10. I got Dominique Wilkins, James Worthy, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Moses Malone, Alex English, Sidney Moncrief, Mark Aguirre, and the Iceman, George Gervin.
Okay.
That's what I got, honorable mention. I don't have Karl Malone, man. I don't know. I guess, you know.
Was it because he played who he played for?
You know, I mean,
Utah was like, you know.
I don't know, man. I mean, because honestly, like I said, he's, as of right now, the second leading scorer in NBA history. So I'll take the L on that one, man. That's probably an oversight on my part. So
it's all good.
I'll take that. So, man, who you got at number 10, man?
Hakeem Olajuwon, number 10. A center who plays like a forward, very fast. Two rings. He's 2-0 in championships, of course. Not to take away his thunder, but he's 2-0 in championships because Jordan retired during that period. But shout out to Houston Rockets 94-95. I think he was MVP for the league once. I don't know which, you know, what how else to really describe the brother. You know, he played from 1984, I think it's around 2002, and just explosive, man. I think for his, I mean, he was 7 foot, but he really played like he was 6'7", you know.
That was
for his position.
Yeah, because that was that soccer work, man, he did, man. You know, he was a soccer player.
He came in late, in the game. So
I still think, man, still one of the most dominant college basketball players that I've ever seen in my life, man. Of course, you know my affinity for University of Louisville Cardinals basketball, and I still have nightmares about them 13 dunks they threw down on them in that 83 Final Four game. One of the greatest shows of athleticism, because it wasn't like we were scrubs in that game. I mean, we put on a show too, but that game. Man, I mean, we may have to do top 10 college basketball games one day, and that will rank up there as one of the, even in defeat, that was one of the most awesome displays of athleticism that I've seen from a team ever. I mean, it was just crazy, man. It was crazy. But anyway,
Houston was like the Michigan Fab Five those 2 years. So they lost to NC State and they lost to Louisville.
They beat Louisville. They beat Louisville in that 83 Final Four.
The Final Four.
Yeah, because
they lost that year, though.
Yeah, they lost to NC State. That year, it was, I think it was, actually, I think it was Georgia.
Okay.
U of L, NC State, and Houston.
Dominique
Wilkins was in there. Okay. Yeah.
But I know that Houston lost back-to-back championships, I believe.
Yeah, they lost in 83 to NC State. They lost in 84 to Georgetown. Yeah. Up in the Kingdome in Seattle.
Gotcha. Okay. Who's your 10, brother?
My number 10 is Isaiah Thomas, man. Probably, I'll just put it like this. You know where Olajuwon played like he was 6'7"?
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas was 6'1" and played like he was 6'8". You know, it was, fearless when, you know, going to the hole. You know, everybody talks about Allen Iverson and Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose, all these athletic, you know, quote unquote point guards. Isaiah Thomas was the prototype for that.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you know, you talk about handles.
He was butter.
You know, and what he had over all three of those guys is that he could actually shoot. you would never leave Zeke open for a shot. You see what I'm saying? So, probably for my money, pound for pound, arguably the best point guard ever that I've ever seen play.
Okay.
You know, tough as nails, a little nasty. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Winner. I mean, it's just one of those things, man, that, you know, I mean, he came into the league with expectations and pretty much exceeded those. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, he competed in a time in the 80s, early 80s to, you know, early to mid 90s where those teams were tough, man. I mean, you had to fuck around with Bird's Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Chicago was on the rise in the late 80s. You know what I'm saying? You had to deal with Magic's Lakers. You know, you had to deal with all those cats, man. You know, and it, I mean, so it was pretty rough, man. The East on the whole was rough back in the day because, as I mentioned, I got Sidney Moncrief in my honorable mentions, man. The Milwaukee Bucks in the '80s, early to late '80s, were no pushovers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they've been sleepwalking for a few years now, up until, you know, they got Giannis and whatnot. But the Bucks were tough, man, and you know, and then you still had, you know, Dominique's Hawks and, you know, Hope, Dr. J, Sixers, you know, things like that. I mean, so you're looking at, you know, you're looking at the Sixers, you know, they won in 83, and you got to think, you know, I'll just put you like this. It was so tough. If you look at the entire decade of from 1980, to 1990, right?
So the 80s, basically.
Yeah, the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
All you had was Lakers, Celtics. Pistons, Celtics, and Sixers.
Rockets were in there too, though.
No, Rockets was 94, 95.
No,
but I'm saying they were competing. They were competing.
Yeah, because they were competing
with Ralph Sampson.
Yeah,
and everything. But what I'm saying, though, is that the rings went to only four teams.
Oh, okay.
Over the course of those 10, 11 years, only four teams got rings. You see what I'm saying? So that's how tough.
Celtics, you know, Lakers, Sixers, and Pistons.
And Pistons, yeah.
Sure enough.
That's it.
That's right.
So. Damn.
And that's when.
And the Sixers were lucky. The Sixers were lucky to get the one that they got.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, you know, because, I mean, that was, you know. But again, like I said, I mean, ring's a ring.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that's.
Yeah,
it all came together for them.
Good old days when teams used to stay together.
Right, and they could actually, they could hand check, they could put the, you know, the forearm.
Yeah, they
in
actually were men.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. They didn't, you know.
It was tough.
Yeah. Anyway, we want to go there. There's a whole lot of whole shit going on in the NBA right now, man. So we gonna let that run.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, you're number nine.
Number nine is big fundamental, Tim Duncan, probably. Or arguably the best power forward in the league. He's a winner, or was a winner, since retired. Just a humble, quiet giant. And, you know, 5 rings. He's 5-1 in championships. 2 MVPs.
Really should be 6-0. Really. If it wasn't for your boy.
Oh,
if it wasn't for Ray Allen.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Getting that shot in the corner.
Yeah, man.
Miami. But, And,
they were in contention a whole lot of other years too, man. I mean, when the Lakers went on there, when they had their three-peat with Shaq and Kobe,
yeah,
the Spurs were in contention. They were in there.
A little mixture of Sacramento here and there, but yeah, I mean, Tim Duncan is, I mean, you know, if he was on your team, you know, he was healthy, you knew that they were going to do something. I mean, it was just one of those things where Timmy was. You know, like I said, very fundamental. He didn't get the nickname for big fundamental for nothing.
Right. I mean really, it's like, dude,
this
would,
is how
he,
you
he
play.
Would wear the sides of the square out.
Right. Right.
I'm just like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is just crazy, man.
And he did it humbly. So
right.
Shout out to him. Number nine,
man. My number nine is, I have Tim Duncan at number nine, but also have 9A, 9B, Olajuwon and Duncan. So, you know, we already talked about Olajuwon. You already talked about Duncan. So.
Okay.
It is what it is on that. So we'll move to number eight. Who's your number eight?
Number eight just beat Michael Jordan in the most points scored, LeBron James. It's my number eight. Who I think is, I concur that he's the best player playing the game right now, today. I don't think it's, you know, he's going to do some things with the Lakers, of course, but three rings. He's 3-6 in championships, which part of the reason why I move him down from a lot of people have him in the top five, I would think. Four MVPs, and I just like his game, man. LeBron, I think pound for pound, is probably, if we did like a pound for pound best player, I think he would be in the top three.
Yeah, he'd definitely be up there.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What he can do with his body and where he's gone. LeBron amazes me. You know, you always get into spats with folks saying, and you know, trying to take him, sort of bring his greatness down. And I say, well, look, when he left Cleveland, Cleveland went down. Went to Miami, went four straight championships. Won two of those four. He left Miami. Miami didn't make the playoffs the next year. Went back to Cleveland.
They ain't been to playoffs since, had they?
I think they went to one.
Okay.
I could be off one, maybe two, but definitely
okay.
One. But
okay.
Right when he left, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. Went to Cleveland, straight champion. So wherever he goes, you know, it's immediate impact. People say, okay, well, about Lakers this year? Okay, maybe not so much, but he makes immediate impact. So he definitely, I think eight is pretty fair for me where I have him. Shout out to LeBron James, number eight on my list.
Okay, number eight on my list is Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen is probably the best Robin to Batman that there's ever been.
Yeah.
You know, not too many people's Robin will make top 50 NBA players, you know, in the history of the NBA. When they made that list will probably change if they ever did it again. But I mean, what can you say about him, man? I mean, I don't have a lot of statistical information about it, but when you saw him play, especially during those Bulls runs, there was no doubt that Michael Jordan was the alpha dog. But Pippen was a lockdown defender, scorer when needed, you know, defense, you know, weak side help defense kind of guy. I mean, always blocking shots, you know, and making steals, great in transition. You know, and he was the one that actually started what they called the Breakfast Club in Chicago, where okay. People would go and work out in the morning.
Oh, yeah?
You know, before practice and things like that. Yeah. So, you know, so he was dedicated, put in the work, and yeah, he's my number eight, man.
Okay. Quick question. Do you think, well, not do you think, but why when Jordan left, I guess for me, I think about Pippen. I agree with your comments, but I think maybe he would have lifted them to promised land. It's almost like, oh, okay, without Batman, yeah, maybe I am still Robin.
Yeah, well, you know, they went to the playoffs, and you know, he had that famous he bowed out when Phil Jackson called to play for Tony Kukoc.
Okay.
And in the playoffs, and Kukoc ended up hitting the shot anyway. So yeah, I mean there was probably some there may have been some ego issues there to keep him from being as great as he could have been. Because, you know, you're not going to be, when you take over Michael Jordan's team and you're not really the type of driving force.
Right.
You know, from a character standpoint, as Michael Jordan was, you know, you may or may not fall short. So, but you see what happened when MJ came back.
Right, right, right.
They got three more championships, had to end up with one of the.
Yeah, that
second best record in NBA
history.
Big shoes
to fill, I guess, right. You know. You get a lot of adjustments to make. So
yeah, so you know, sometimes people are ready for that and sometimes people are not, man. But it doesn't,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't minimize his greatness, man. He's still athletically one of the most versatile small forwards that there have ever been, one of the most athletic small forwards that there has ever been in the league. So
and really was a versatile forward guard type of player.
Right,
too,
right. So, you know, I mean, he's had the length. Like, see, I think he's listed at like 6'7", but I mean, his length as far as his arms and shit, man, I mean, played like a guy that was 6'10", 6'11" in regards to defense. That's why he was like a condor out there on the wing, man. That's why he got so many steals. That's why he was so great in transition.
Right.
And it helped defense. So, but anyway, number seven, who you got?
Number seven is Magic. All right. Irvin Magic Johnson. I think as far as a point guard, probably, I would say probably the best point guard that was out there. It definitely, per his size, missed the fast break. I think he brought excitement to the game. At least when I was coming through, his personality, he was like the total package on the floor. He has 5 rings. He's 5-4 in championships. Magic has 3 MVPs. I didn't realize that. As I look at this, but I think
yet he's number 7
for a
number 7.
Correct.
Number 7.
Yes.
Wow.
Above, I put him above your Pippen.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
And actually, a true story, I met him and took a picture with him. I won a contest back in 92.
Did you tell him that, did you say, hey, Magic, man, I really like this picture, but you number 7?
Well, at the time, you know, he was probably number 3 or something. I don't know. No, I didn't tell him that. But yeah, I got a picture with him, he and my father, man. We had a good time. We went out to L.A. and met him at an event. It was actually something he used to have, fundraiser, UNCF fundraiser, Midnight Summer Madness or something like that. And I was able to meet him, and it was cool. It was cool. But yeah, number 7, Magic Johnson, man.
Okay. My number 7 is Dr. J.
All right.
And the only reason why Dr. J is this low is because, just to be honest, the level of dominance that the people that are above him, the 6 people that are above him on my top 10 list, displayed in their time.
Right.
Dr. J paved the way for, you know, Michael Jordan and Kobe, and, you know, I mean, there's no questioning his greatness. He was probably one of the most athletic, you know, 2 guards out there, small forward, you know, whatever. It was in the movies. Remember The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh? Remember that shit?
Yeah.
it was a crazy movie.
That was a cool ass movie.
Yeah, it was cool.
It really was.
But yeah, man, I mean,
Pittsburgh Pisces.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Pisces. Crazy, right? But yeah, Dr. J, man, is a you know, he was, if you just want to go from a, you know, it's not all, you know, from a personal standpoint, I mean, it's not all rosy. You know, we all have challenges and whatnot. Now, I'm not the type that's going to be bringing up people's personal shit, you know, but on the personal side also is the business side. You know, personally speaking, he reached into households that NBA players weren't reaching into, from a pitch man standpoint, you know, from a marketability standpoint and things like that. He also, you know, blazed those particular types of trails too, not just, you know, the athletic prowess on the court. So a lot of guys owe the type of money that they can make off the court,
okay,
to Dr. J as well. Those shoe deals and shit like that.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean,
he was a precursor for that.
Yeah. I mean, he pretty much blazed trails in that shit, man. So
he was charismatic, man.
He's real charismatic. I mean,
on and off the court. Still a cool dude.
A cool dude, man.
And how he carries his business. So.
Right. So yeah, he's cool, man. He's cool. Number 7. I wish I could have put him higher, but the level of dominance and the fact that he only has 1 ring with all the time that he spent in the NBA. Even though I think he won a ring with the Nets when the Nets were in the ABA.
Mistaken.
So yeah, the level of dominance just wasn't there, but so many other things make him top 10 worthy in my eyes. So who's your number 6?
No doubt. Number 6 is Shaq Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal. In my time, since I've been living, I think the most dominating center that I've seen play. He really changed a lot. I mean, you're talking about the Shaq attack. He forced teams to really spread the floor. I mean, Shaq was just, I mean, you know, he was that dude, man. And probably the last time that a real center dominated the paint like that. I agree
with that.
I met him when I went the same weekend that I met Magic, I met Shaq, and I shook his hand before he walked into, matter of fact, it was his first year going into,
it's just like Orlando. Shaking hands with a catcher's mitt.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it was crazy.
I've met Shaq before too, man. He is an insanely large human.
He's not the tallest person I met. I met Sean Bradley, but he's the largest person.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the funny thing about it is, and I try to explain, if ever the conversation ever comes up about, basketball players and things like that, because I've actually, the most yoked person that I've seen that is a basketball player in person was Karl Malone.
Really?
Karl Malone's a big DJ. He's a huge, like 6'9". He's a huge, large man. Not just a tall man, but a large man.
Yeah.
And Shaq makes him look like me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, Shaq is a proportioned 7'1", 3", whatever he is. He's a large human.
7'1", 325.
Right. I mean, he's large. And it's he's not just a tall, lanky guy. He's a big fucking dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why he was so... to be honest with you, man, I think that's why he was actually so fluid. You know, you see the videos of him breakdancing and things like that.
Yeah.
It's because, he's just a bigger version of smaller guys. I mean, he had handles that, he didn't put on display that much because he was down on the block a lot, but...
Couldn't shoot in free throws.
And I'm saying that's why, he's not... I'm going to go ahead and give him my number six, which is also Shaq.
Okay.
But that's why he's not higher, because I've never seen anybody be more dominant. If he could have hit 70%, on free throws, they would have,
it'd been ridiculous.
He could have averaged 40 a year.
Wow.
I mean, 40 points a game per year.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, probably the most immovable object in the paint that there's ever been.
Right.
And he had quick feet. I mean, size 22, size 23 feet, but he was agile. That young Shaq was a beast.
Dude.
Young Shaq was a crazy beast.
And he should have got more rings. He got 4 rings. He's 4-1 in championships. It should have been more.
Him and Kobe should have stayed together, man. But anyway, that's just how it is,
Yeah, I can't believe he's almost been 8 years since he's been retired, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Time flies, bro. Time you think he got drafted in 92. That's almost damn 30 years ago.
Yep.
Crazy, ain't it? I'm telling you. Right, man.
That's crazy, man.
Well, we both got him number six. Who's number five for you?
All right, so we're going into the top five. Number five is Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
Kobe, he carried the torch when Jordan sort of, he picked up the torch from Jordan, even though they sort of overlapped for a few years. I don't know what else you can really say about Kobe. 5 rings, 5-2 in championships. He was MVP once. I like that he's been with the same franchise, I think, for the longest of any NBA player. From 96 to 2016. And I really wish, Charlotte drafted him, but I know he wasn't going to stay here. But, I wish somehow he came through Charlotte and stayed with Charlotte with us, but his greatness belonged in LA. But I just enjoy I enjoy his play, man. I enjoy his very, very, like I said, Jordan-esque. He was a winner. His work ethic. I've always heard other players talk about his work ethic, and he's just one of those guys that stayed the course with perfection. And so that made me sort of really respect his game. And, he came through when he needed to come through. So that's my number five, man, Kobe Bryant.
All right, man. My number five is LeBron James, man. And I won't go too much more into, too much over and above what you've already mentioned. But I will just say, I've seen LeBron James in person too, and he is another large human being. For him to do what he does on the court at his size,
it's ridiculous.
This is fucking ridiculous. I really think that if we were making a top 10 athletes in the NBA, just based on athletic ability, he could easily be 1 or 2.
Right.
Just what he does being like a fucking defensive end dribbling the basketball. It's just absolutely ridiculous, man. The reason why he's not a little bit higher, man, is because I think he quit 1 year, man. Actually, I think he quit twice. Once was against Dallas when they was up and Dallas came back and beat their ass.
Oh, okay.
When he was in Miami. And the other time,
first year in Miami, yeah.
And other time, I think, was in when he disappeared in one game, man. I think it might have been against Boston.
Was it Eastern
yeah, I think it might have been against. Yeah, I just felt like, man, that if you really a dog, if you that dog,
yeah,
you go down swinging. It's like if you're going to lose, you're going to hit 70. You know what I'm saying? You just don't. That shit just didn't sit right with me, man. So, you know, it's not possible to deny the athletic prowess, the basketball acumen, and all those other things that he has.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he showed that quit gene, man. And I'm just like, you can't be a real dog if you got that quit gene.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
And it's like, you know, he defers almost to a fault sometimes where he should really.
Yeah, that's
you know, I mean, and that's kind of like a, and that to me, when you go to how many finals in a row, 8 in a row, whatever you've been to,
yeah,
and how many rings you got off that shit,
right? I mean, he's what did I say? He's 3-6.
Yeah,
so he's been
so he's been a 9, and I'm just
straight,
like,
yeah,
that's a tough one for me, man. I mean, I expect you with you being the most dominant force in the league at that particular time, I need you to go 500. I'll even take 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'll even take 4-5 because that puts you on the cusp of having 5 rings. That puts you in Kobe air. That puts you in Magic air.
That's why I slid them down to 8. Really off of stuff what you're saying right now.
Yeah. So I mean that's just and it's not to take. I'll put you like this. It's off the court exploits with the school, with the businesses and things like that. I mean, this guy's worth a bill easily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So okay. I mean, I get it, and I'm happy for him. You know, but at the same time, when you're just talking about basketball. You know, he's dominant, absolutely dominant. But I just don't think that he took advantage of his dominance at the time. I think he left at least.
Right.
He left that Dallas ring on the table.
Yep.
And the last time that when San Antonio beat them, I feel like he quit then, too.
Yeah, he quit.
Yeah. So, I mean, so he to me, he left.
And he left after that. Went back to
right. Cleveland. That's what I'm saying. So to me, he left two rings, at least two rings on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That if he would have. You know, but that's just my opinion.
No, but that's the heat that he gets from a lot of
right.
critics is what you're saying right there.
Right.
And so when people try to compare his greatness to others, but.
Yeah. No, Jordan wouldn't have went out. Jordan would have took 100 shots.
Right.
Before he would even let people think that he quit.
Mm-hmm.
He would have jacked up every shot. He would have been in the huddle saying, you get me the fucking ball every time down court before yeah. he would have quit.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? That's the difference. Kobe, the same thing. Kobe would have been like, if you touch the ball, I'm going to smack you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The only thing you better do is inbound the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's you know, it's 1-on-5.
Right.
Fuck it, I'm shooting.
The strategy.
You know what I'm saying? It's like 1-on-4, I'm going to the rim. It don't matter.
Right, right.
You know, so, but I'm not, he's not going to quit. And I just feel like that's the kryptonite for LeBron.
Right.
But anyway. Number 4.
I agree, man. Number 4 is Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain.
Okay.
Now, to what your criteria, I did not see Wilt play, but in clips that I have seen and what I know of this brother, he probably changed. He's changed the game to what we know it today.
They outlawed the dunk because of him.
Yeah. Dunk, goaltending.
Or was it Kareem that they outlawed the dunk for?
I don't know, but I think it may have been him. They widened the lane because of him. It's so much.
Some old racist
you
shit.
You can
though.
Just really Google, of course.
That's, you know what I'm saying? That's some old white supremacist yeah. shit right there.
Disney
it's always
is
in
too
there.
Big.
Right.
We gotta change some shit so we can win.
It's like our boys aren't winning.
Right.
our boys can't do anything with him.
Will has 2 rings. He's 2-4 in championships and 4 MVPs. Will actually. He and Jordan ended their careers with the same average points per game, 30.1. So he not only was
which is freaking amazing, considered he averaged 51 year.
Yeah, probably is. It's probably that you're skewed because he, you know, that game he scored 100 in, what have you. But
no, it wasn't even that. I don't think it was that year.
Yeah. And I, you know, he's been dead 20 years, man.
He died like 99, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Been dead 20 years, but.
Man, Wilt averaged 50 one year in an 80 game season. He averaged 50. 50.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard for me not to hold that up. I mean, it's greatness all the way around. And
get this shit though. Check this shit out though. Wilt came into the league in 1959.
Wow,
is that not crazy?
59 to 73.
To 73.
Yeah,
that's a lot of years, bro.
I mean, you know, back then they had to put in the work. I mean, you know, not that other guys don't last. What's that? 14 years?
Yeah. See, what brought him down, man, was those last 2 years in LA where he only averaged 14 and 13. You know what I'm saying? And he played, you know, the whole 82 game season. So, that fucked him up as far as his scoring average. But, you know, he came into the league averaging 37 a game.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So.
So the moniker I put beside Wilt is greatest impact. And from the standpoint of playing the game on the, you know, playing the game as it is. So number four, Wilt Chamberlain, brother.
All right, man. Again, you know, I explained at the beginning of the show, I didn't see Wilt play, so he's not on my list. You know, Wilt supposedly slept with 20,000 chicks too.
I thought it was 25.
Something man. Like that.
You cut him short.
Yay.
Huh? Maybe in 30. Shit.
I mean, shit.
That's bro. Crazy. I can't even. That's a whole nother show.
It's a whole nother show.
Think about.
Right, right.
20 to 30.
That's a lot, bro.
Women.
It's a lot. It was a lot.
Damn. And that's pre Viagra? Well, I mean, what they.
And yeah, it's ironic that he died of a heart attack.
Some ginseng juice.
Right. So, but yeah, man. My number four is Kobe Bryant, man. Kobe Bean Bryant. Yo, I don't really. I like Kobe. I like the retired Kobe.
What?
I like his personality better. Because I didn't really like him as a
player.
As a player, because I felt like, now feel me on this, man. I felt like that he was trying to live up to Jordan too much. I think he was trying too hard. You know what I'm saying? Because I think he heard those footsteps, those Jordan footsteps, like LeBron is hearing now. You know what I'm saying? And I think that affected the way that he treated people. But again, like I said, I don't know the motherfucker, so I don't really know. But it's just how it came off. But it didn't keep me from putting him in my top five because the motherfucker put in work.
Yeah.
Put in work. And he was an undeniable force. We talk about being dominant from the two guard position. In my opinion, Shaq in LA by himself doesn't get those rings. You know what I'm saying?
And
I feel like that when Shaq went to Miami with that young Dwayne Wade, that kind of proved my point. It's like Shaq was the lesser of the two, but brought a stabilizing dominant force in the middle. When Kobe finally got a squad around him, he didn't have a dominant big man.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker had, what was the dude's name in the middle? Andrew.
Came from Cleveland.
No. The big guy.
I know.
I can't think of the name. But you know what I'm talking about. The young dude that they drafted because they drafted him.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought Cleveland had something to do with.
No, it was.
Maybe it was a different guy.
But no, that was Andrew Wiggins. They traded him to Minnesota. That's not who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. But he had that guy. And he had Lamar Odom, Pau Gasol, Metal World Peace. You know, that whole. Andrew Bynum
is his name. Yes.
So when he, but he's that he wasn't Shaq.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Pau Gasol wasn't Shaq. Lamar Odom wasn't Shaq, but they were good enough pieces to let Kobe's true dominance actually shine. You see what I'm saying? So it kind of gave credence to those rings because you got to think when they won those back-to-back championships, Kobe had been in the league. Kobe was already on year 12 and 13, I think. I think they won like 2009, 2010, something like that.
9 to 10.
Yeah, so you got to think Kobe was already 13, 14 years. So he was 13, 14 years in the league.
Yeah.
And already been through a couple injuries and things like that. So to me, that showed, you know, his dominance thereof. You know, I mean, when he took that team of complimentary pieces without having a second real dominant force, Pau Gasol was good. Don't get me wrong. He was good. But he wasn't a fucking Shaq. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, of course.
So for him to be able to do that and to do it after like three or four years after Shaq got his ring down in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, I'm still here, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, because after that ring Shaq got, he didn't really get close anymore after that. So, but yeah, so Kobe Bean, number four. Who you got number three?
Number three, another old school, Bill Russell. 11 rings. He's the first black NBA coach in the league. I think he was coach and player.
In one year. I think he was coach and.
And he's noted of bringing defense to the league. He wasn't the greatest offensive guy, but he was Mr. Defense, or Secretary of Defense is what he was nicknamed. 11-1 in championships, 5 MVPs. You know, again, I think you said earlier he played from 56 to 1969, and I mean, yeah, I don't know what else to say. With 11 rings, you had to do something, especially in that time period where, you know, you're dealing with the racism and mistreatment of players during that time. It had to be for he and Wilt and a lot of others what they had to go through, especially in Boston. Boston is, I've heard, is one of the most racist
towns,
right,
in America.
Racially segregated towns as well. And so to be in that area,
it's like Virginia North is what it is,
you know. Alabama. Yeah. So
Alabama North. Yeah.
So it's like, think about now trying to perform your job, whether you play basketball or not, trying to perform your job
under that type of duress.
That type of duress and stress. And
not being able to stay in certain hotels and all this other kind of bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not being welcoming your own, you know, you winning like a motherfucker, but you can't go get a steak at the best restaurant in town.
Right.
Because, you know, because it's segregated and shit like that.
So it's like, for you to have 11 championships, they could have really sabotaged you a long time ago.
Right.
So if they wanted to, but somehow he stayed the course. And I think now I respect how he is off the court as well, with things, you know, players he speaks up for, situations he speaks out for, even like crossing over into NFL. He was with Cap, you know, with Kaepernick. And so
I mean, even from the beginning, he was already involved in conscious efforts, and, you know, especially when it comes to injustice. You know, he was on that panel with Kareem, I believe
Jim Brown.
I believe Wilt might have been on that too. I'm not sure if he was on it or not, but
may have been. But
he's always been in the mix.
Yeah. So I think what he was able to accomplish holistically, as a player, as a brother and human being, I think I just have him comfortably at three. But it definitely has something to do with those 11 rings, man.
Had I had the opportunity to see him play,
and I wish,
and to be able to absorb what I was actually seeing, because again, that was my criteria at the beginning of the show, I probably would have him up there as well. So, I mean, I'm not really going to argue with that. It's just a matter of our criteria being different at this particular time. So my number three is Magic, man. And I really think you sold Magic short with your ranking, man. But Magic, number one, was not only was he dominant from the point guard spot, he was something different in the point guard. This motherfucker was a giraffe playing, you know what I'm saying, playing point guard. You know, being 6'9", being a point guard, running a break, having handles, being able to post up, you know, later on developing an outside shot, mid-range game was crazy, a winner, relentless. I mean, what else can you say, man? Like I said, he's got 5 rings, few MVPs. I mean, could probably run for governor of California if he wanted to. But again, like I said, I mean, he is, you know, he is Mr. Laker to me. I know they talk about Jerry West and shit like that, but I mean, Magic got 5 rings up in that piece, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway, we already talked about him, man. So who's your number two?
Number two is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
It's the Skyhook. 6 rings, 6 and 7 and championships, 6 MVPs. And of course, he will never be caught, at least not in my lifetime, as far as the top scorer in the NBA. 38,000.
You don't think LeBron going to catch him?
No.
LeBron just passed Jordan, man. All he got is I think he got Carmelo. I think he got Kobe, Carmelo, and Kareem ahead of him.
Right. I mean, MJ has 32,292. So LeBron has passed. So, I mean, we can do some math. Could he? I don't think he, where he is in his career right now, is going to really be an aggressive scorer to catch Kareem.
You don't think so? I mean, he's 6,000 points. Yeah, I mean, that's 4 years worth of work, bro. That's four years worth of work.
Like at the top,
scoring. Averaging like 27 a game. I think.
Yeah, it's only, I think LeBron's scoring is just going to be stagnant.
Well, he's averaging 27.2 now, which is higher than Kobe and Carmelo and Kareem over the course of their career. So, I mean, if you're doing the law of averages, you have to have a serious drop off.
Yeah.
To not keep doing, if you just doing what you're doing, you're going to have a serious drop off in productivity to drop below 27 too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
he could, but,
I mean, you got to look at it like this. He's played, you know, almost 1200 games. Jordan averaged 30.1 in almost 1100 games, and he's already passed him. You see what I'm saying? So right. Jordan averaged more and he still passed him. So, you know, but he did have the 3-year head start because Jordan came out with us as a junior.
Yeah.
So he had a 3-year head start. So, you know, but also Jordan missed considerable time during that year where he broke his foot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you never really know.
But Kareem, man, I'm like, who can guard a Skyhook?
You know, probably the most indefensible offensive move that has ever been created. Kareem is my number 2, by the way.
Okay.
As well. So it is ridiculous the fact that he has 6 MVPs, that he was probably there's an argument that he could be the greatest of all time across college and pro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, because he won.
How many at UCLA?
I think he might have won 3. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and he's conscious, man, and he's giving. And, you know, he just auctioned off some of his, you know, memorabilia to help with a STEM education and shit like that.
Yeah,
You know, we talk about just being
a humanitarian.
Just being a humanitarian, yeah. On top of being, you know, a basketball player. I mean, you know, Kareem is up there, man. Kareem is up there.
I guess it's coming out. I'm pretty sure who both of our number one is.
Yeah, Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
It's got to be MJ.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know where to start, you know. 6-0 in championships.
I really need to start thinking about what makes him the greatest. And I feel like that if I'm being honest, and I'm just looking at what influenced my decision.
Okay.
I kind of look at him like Dr. J. Dr. J 2.0, but he took it to a level that was just unheard of. Michael Jordan is single-handedly responsible for basketball having mass appeal, having worldwide global mass appeal. Impact. You know what I'm saying? From that particular perspective alone, you can make him number one. But then you take into account the dominant performances that he put on the court. Being 6'6", which is not really that tall in the league.
Right.
Everybody waking up. You waking up and this motherfucker's rolling out of bed to 6'6".
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This dude's that's on the 15th dude on the bench that's 6'6". You see what I'm saying? So
right.
Not really tall to dominate from the shooting guard position and to develop over time. he came in with a whack-ass jump shot.
Yeah.
He was spotty to be, if just to be honest, he was spotty. But he developed that over time. You know, ended up being a deadly three-point shooter.
Yeah.
You know, he came in, didn't really play the type of defense that was really needed to excel at the pro level. That's why they always got bounced by Detroit, because Detroit put that shit on them. You know what I'm saying? They knew how to play team defense. He learned how to play better team defense and better defense individually to lock down his man in a league where at the time they couldn't play zone. It was man on man. It was man to man.
Mm-hmm.
So he not only dominated just on pure athletic ability and sheer will, and sheer will, he developed his game to a point to where he was indefensible.
Right.
Every year he came back with something new. It was a turnaround fadeaway when he lost a lot of hops, when he wasn't soaring above the rim. It was the mid-range post-up game.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So he always developed something new that you couldn't stop. His fadeaway, that's kind of in the same air as Kareem Skyhook.
Right.
There's no way that you can block. You can't block that shit.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter. That's where Kobe got it from. That's, if you look at Kobe's move when he does that spin fadeaway, that's Jordan.
Yeah.
They even have videos where they put those things side by side and they look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was something that when he lost a step on quickness, or when he lost a little bit of explosiveness, he was still getting buckets.
Yeah.
Still getting buckets, because he wasn't the same Jordan in those last three rings. He wasn't 1991 Jordan jumping over people and shit.
Right.
When they wanted, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Father Time caught up with that ass.
Right.
But he figured out a way to make it. He figured out a way to get better.
He was a perfectionist in his craft.
Right. And he was
a work ethic.
Right.
It's just point on. And I think
and he hated to lose. He was a competitor. He was that dog. He punching motherfuckers on his own team. You know, I think they said he punched Steve Kerr. you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was like, you know, ruling by intimidation, like I am the king, you will follow me, you will bend to my will.
Right.
That's dominance.
Yeah. And on top of that, he's, you know, got Chinese kids and people across the globe that want to be like Mike, you know what I'm saying? So it carried, you know, the marketing is just sort of fit with the timing of the marketing of him and his brand through Nike. He exceeded expectations at that point. It's like, okay, he exceeded what he, going back to value, when we're talking about value, you talking about dollar value for your money, if you will. Jordan gave you the value for basketball. If you're playing, if you're just an observer, if you just whatever, if you thought of basketball, and you didn't even know nothing about basketball, you knew something about Michael Jordan because of his greatness, brother.
Well, you know, again, man, like I said, being a real dog on the team, man, you know, being able to bend people to your will, being able to dominate, being able to demoralize your opponent from a competitive standpoint, that kind of stands head and shoulders above, because I'm a competitive person and I like shit like that, man. I like to demoralize motherfuckers when I'm competing with them. But the fact that he still knew when to defer, when he deferred to Paxson, he got a championship on that jump shot. He deferred to Kerr, the dude he's punching in the fucking face in practice.
Yeah.
And he got a ring off that. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's development. Because the reason why he was losing those first 7 years is because he wasn't a team player. Now, true, he didn't have a lot of shit around him at the time.
Right.
But at the same time, he had to learn how to play that team game and still be the alpha dog within that. And, you know, just from a purely competitive standpoint, this shit's legendary.
Yeah, it took some time. Yeah, it took a little time at first, but
you know, the worldwide appeal, man. We won't talk about the Washington Wizards bullshit,
and
won't talk about his current ownership run, his front office work with the Wizards, or his ownership run currently here in Charlotte with the Hornets. We won't.
Yeah,
we won't talk about.
Yeah,
that
let's
shit.
Not. Yes, let's not.
The fact that you know he's the only majority owner of a franchise. I'll apply what I always say. Get your motherfucking money.
Looks like we agreed on the last on number one and number two.
Yeah, which is kind of odd, man. You know, I guess I won't say fuck your list this time.
Well, you usually say it at the beginning. So,
yeah, but yeah. I probably said it anyway. We'll listen to it.
That's typically what you say. So,
but yeah, man, we're gonna go ahead and leave it right there, man. Hey, we appreciate everybody checking us out today, man. If you wanna comment on the show, if you think we left somebody out, you think we got somebody too high, think we got somebody too low, man, hit us up like y'all normally do, man. 704-946-6060. 704-946-6060. I appreciate y'all running my battery down, man, on the phone. I appreciate that, man, because it lets us know that we're reaching people and causing, you know, some reactions. That's what we want to do. But again, man, we do these top 10 shows to, number one, accentuate our culture, to celebrate our culture, and also to celebrate the achievements and the endeavors that Black people partake in. So hit us up, man, 704-946-6060. You can hit me on Instagram at Old Man Fresh, OldManFresh. And Reg, what's your Instagram handle, man?
At Reggie Underdog. Dog is spelled DAWG.
That's what it is, man. That's what it is. Hey, we hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back up at you one more again later on.
There it is.
That's what it is, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, man.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the Black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.